Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about two fellas who were both sheriffs, and they were brothers. Joe and Steve Walker is the subject of our program today. We'll talk to Joe and Steve's daughter, Andrea, right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you along on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things in Jessamine County. With me today, some people that I've known for quite a while. One guy I've known since we were little boys, and another girl I guess I've known since before she was born. And we're going to talk about a family who have been very active in our community and for a long time, the Walker family. Joe Walker's with me today. Andrea Walker's with me today. Good morning. Glad to have you guys.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Doug.
We are going to talk all about the big Walker family. And I want to start, I think, maybe back with your granddad, Joe, because now I understand he was jailer here in our county. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
Do you know, though, before you talk about him, was the Walkers always from Jessamine County?
Yes.
Okay.
They go back.
As long as you can go.
As long as I can remember.
Okay. So you knew your granddad.
Yes.
Yeah. When was he jailer? Do you remember?
He was jailer. It had to be in the early 1950s.
Yeah.
Because I remember Mama saying when Steve was born in 55, mm-hmm. and that was first place they took Steve when they left the hospital was a jail.
Really?
Fitting.
So I'm sure he was jailer in 1955,
yeah.
but probably ran for it. And I got a couple of fans here that I know no one can see, but I thought on these it said 1949, but I can't find those.
Yeah.
I can't find the date on them. But
folks, when he says fans, he's actually talking about fans you used like at a church or a funeral home to fan yourself. And it says George Walker for jailer.
And I thought on that it had 1949. And these two I actually got from Hoover Peel. Doodle got those from Hoover.
Yeah.
Hoover had them and said, I thought you might want these,
sure.
Joe, since your granddad was jailer. And this was when he actually ran. So these are probably about 1950.
Now, do you know, was he the first person in your family to hold elected office?
To the best of my knowledge.
No.
Yeah.
All right. So George was married to who?
Hattie Cooley.
All right. Is she from here?
She's from here.
Was she related to the Walter Cooley and that bunch?
Tucker Cooley
her
dad.
Oh, okay.
Tucker Cooley. Tucker and Minnie Mae Cumley. Miss Cumley was
Victor. To Victor.
Right.
Which is hooked to the houses and all that bunch down in Little Hickman East and down in that area.
Right.
Man, like crabgrass. Y'all were just.
Yeah, we were everywhere.
Everywhere. All right. So George marries and they have your dad.
Right. And he was the oldest.
How many kids were there in that family?
There was nine in that family.
And his name?
My dad's name was Roy Gilbert Walker.
Now, Roy, did he ever hold office, dude?
No.
Okay.
No, he was a lot like me. I would have never got into politics if it wouldn't have been for Steve.
Yeah, right.
And I've often said I don't know whether to thank him or blame him.
Your dad, Roy, at some point in time, was lucky enough to catch the eye of a lady that was come from Wilmore, out of a family that had traveled here from down around... what's the name of the county they came to?
Casey County. Right.
One of the Rainwater girls. How did that happen? You know?
Whose birthday is today?
She would have been 80. Today would have been Alice's birthday.
She'd be 87 today if she was still with us.
Wow.
Yeah. But he did. He was like me. He got lucky and found a real good lady.
Do you know how they met? Do you have any idea?
I don't remember exactly how. You know, like you said, Daddy was from Nicholasville, Mom was from Wilmore. And I'm not real sure it wasn't at maybe some church function that they didn't actually meet.
So they get married, and before we go on down into the offices that we've talked about, let's do the family history. They get married, and Steve comes along, right, in 19, what'd you say, 55?
Right.
All right, now I'm going to switch over a little bit to the daughter here.
Here we go.
Andrea's the daughter, and I must tell you this story about your dad. Back in, Joe, you might have to help me on this one. I'm thinking back in around 76 or something like that. Maybe 75. I tried out for Babe Ruth.
Oh yes.
But my coach at that time that picked me for the Chiefs was Manuel Walters. And I think you were playing for the Colts, as best I can remember.
Gosh, no.
You played catcher for the Colts. Anyway, he stayed a year, and the next year we found out that my new coach was this young guy named Steve Walker. Mm-hmm. Now that's the first time I ever met Steve. The thing I remember so vibrantly about your dad was that before the games, he was, you know, give us his pep talk out there sitting at the high school. And the problem was, is he couldn't stay focused because down the middle of that field would walk this lady named Lindsay Pope.
Oh, my gosh.
And as soon as he would see her, he forgot there was a team within a mile of us. And we are like, Coach, you know, come back over here. So even then, I mean, he had his eye.
I never will forget
that. And seeing her walk down and his eyes follow her, and he didn't even think about it.
I can see why she's a pretty lady.
Yes, she was. So let's talk. And you want to grab a chair and bring it in?
Yeah.
If you don't, we just had another family member come in. So let's talk about them. Do you know when Steve and your mom were married?
I can't remember what year it was. Joe, do you?
It would have been 1987, I believe.
87. Well, I believe came around 87. In 89.
Okay.
So it was before then.
Right.
I believe it was 87 because I don't think Steve had been sheriff long. And he came in as sheriff in January of 86.
So he came in as sheriff before they were married. Is that what you're saying?
I can't remember the exact date.
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
You should have brought Lindsay.
But about that time.
I'm texting her, right?
About that time. So you were born in what?
I was born in 89.
89, Joe. Mm-hmm.
October 7th of 89.
That makes me feel ancient. Ancient. So, and first off, before we go into you and brother here, talk about your mom. Tell us who Steve married and her family, because they were around here for a long time, too.
They were. I mean, my mom came from a great family, the Popes. My grandfather was a chemistry professor at the University of Kentucky. Right. My grandma was more of a homemaker, but she worked harder than anybody I think I've ever met. And I think she still would be to this day at 97 years old, you know.
She is 97 now.
She's 97 years old now.
Wow.
So longevity runs in the family on that side. So, I mean, it's not hard to see why these two got together.
I understand. Yeah. That's right. Now, did Lindsay work outside the home?
Not really. Growing up, she was kind of a homemaker as well, which we were so blessed to have her around all the time. Yeah.
Now, you came along in 89, and what about this guy here?
All right. Matt Walker, my little brother, just walked in.
Yeah.
He was born in 91 or, 91.
91.
I know how old you are, but I'm not good at numbers.
So tell us, and I want each of you to do this if you don't care, and then we'll get over here to Joe. I know what you've done with your lives, but you tell what you've done with your lives.
I now am in news. I work in broadcasting. I anchor the morning show on WKYT and also the morning show on the Fox 56 station.
Is that something that you thought you'd always want to do?
It is. Actually, I feel very fortunate to be doing what I want to do. I know that's kind of a rarity in this day and age.
Yeah.
So it's been so nice, and especially to be able to come home and do it, you know, be able to do the news in your hometown.
Yeah.
It's such a blessing. It's what I always dreamed of. So, like I say, I feel very blessed, very fortunate to be able to be doing that.
Sure.
And Matt actually has a new development in his life.
Yeah, what's going on with you, Matt?
Let me get in here closer. So I am the opposite. I am the majority where she is the rarity. And I had no idea that after I went to school at Berea College for physical education, I would be a swim coach for a little while at the YMCA. And now I'm actually at home helping Mom take care of Grandma.
Well, and that's a great job.
It is.
To give back to your family like
Grandma
that.
Has taken care of everybody in our family, so I'm glad to be able to give back.
Sure, that's great.
And you also got accepted to EKU very recently.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I am going into the aviation program at EKU.
You know, I've often said, and in fact, I told my son this, who will graduate high school this year, that if I had to do it over again, there's several things I would do. One of them would be learn to fly. I've always said, and people say, well, you're not too old. Oh, yeah, I think I am. but I would,
plane's left.
Yeah, I think so.
Long
time ago. But that's interesting.
Yeah.
What brought you to want to do that?
My head was always in the clouds, and I thought, well, maybe that's where my career is. Good.
Well, I wish you luck on that. That's great.
So.
That is great.
I'm excited for that.
All right. Well, we've got the Steve side, and before I go on to the Joe side, what year did we lose Steve? I can't remember.
That was 1999, April 18th.
Okay, so you would have been eight?
I was seven.
Almost eight.
Nine.
You were nine.
Yeah. So today, honestly, I do want to thank you for doing this because this is almost kind of us getting to relive a little bit of history that,
sure.
you know, we didn't get to experience. So this right. is such a great
right.
thing that you're
yeah.
doing that we...
Well, we appreciate it. And of course, I thought the world of Steve Walker. Steve, and I'm going to tell you another story that Joe has heard. Joe knows this story, and I've actually told it on one of these broadcasts before. This, just so you all will further know what kind of dad you had. Back in the 80s, and I don't remember what year it was, I was doing early mornings at the old radio station, and we were just talking before you came in about what time we have to go to bed at
right.
night to get up so early. Well, back then, I lived with Mom and Dad, and I'd go to bed early. Well, one night, it was probably 11 or 12 o'clock, he called the house for me, something he wanted to tell me about something we were going to do on the air. Well, my mom answered and scared her to death. He was sheriff at the time. Scared her to death.
Gosh.
Because she thought something. She didn't know I was home, I guess. I don't know what was going on. So anyway, he said, I'm so sorry. He said, Miss Fain, if anything bad ever came up, I would never call you. I would always come see you. Well, fast forward to 1993, January the 2nd, and you were with him the day that my brother died in the fire truck accident. Sharon Reynolds was coroner, and I know usually it was up to the coroner to go inform the family. And I found out later that Steve looked at her and said, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I'm going to go. And I never will forget Mom saying to me, they were there at their house, is that they saw him drive up. And I don't know if you were with him, maybe.
I was in a separate vehicle.
Okay. They drove up the drive, and then Steve came to the door, and they opened the door, and my dad looked at him and said, is it Cecil? And he just shook his head, and it's really all he could say.
That's all he needed, yeah.
But that's all they needed. But the thing is that he kept his promise. He remembered from all those years that he had told her, and he fulfilled that promise. And that was one story that I'll never forget about Steve Walker, is that man, you know, he lived up to his word.
Right.
And that's just one of the great things about Steve.
And I will say, through being in news, I've gotten to talk to a lot of public officials mm-hmm. who have been in office, going back to when my dad was sheriff, and I hear stories like
yeah.
that all the time. So it's just, I mean, it is wonderful. He has such a great reputation.
Oh,
like
yeah.
character,
yeah.
I think, is the
right.
word that comes
right.
to me most, that he had such good character. So hearing those stories, it's wonderful.
Sure, sure. Joe, do you know why Steve decided he wanted to be sheriff? Was there any particular reason?
I remember in 1981, he was a deputy under Benny Peel.
Okay.
And he really enjoyed that.
Uh-huh.
You know, he worked, I think he only worked maybe one day a week, maybe two, but he really enjoyed it. And he set his mind out then that he wanted to be sheriff.
Yeah.
And he actually ran with Gene Goldie that following year. Gene ran against Bill Hager.
All right, Bill won. I remember that race.
Bill won, and that would have been 1981, I
mm-hmm,
believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve started working then for 4 years to
yeah.
run for sheriff.
Yeah.
And he put together an all-star ticket. You know, it used to be back then that you put together a ticket.
Right.
Kind of
right.
like it wasn't just one person
right.
ran for sheriff.
Yeah.
And he assembled a bunch of good.
Yeah, he did.
Good ticket.
He did.
I'll name a few of them. John B. Carpenter,
uh-huh.
Jimmy Bowman, Ronald L. Shear. Ronald L. kind of helped to manage the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said John Nichol, Kevin Corman,
yeah.
current sheriff. And I know I'm going to leave some out. Bobby Sally, Donnie Welch, mm-hmm. Joe Hall. Real good bunch of, you know, local people.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of takes you back to... like I said, the sheriff now doesn't run with deputies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sheriff
mm-hmm.
runs, and mm-hmm. if the sheriff changes office, the deputies remain the same.
Right.
But it goes back really to the older years, to when the sheriff picked his posse.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
He chose who he wanted to ride
That's
with.
That's right.
Him. And a lot of times in elections, you know, they're not always cordial.
exactly.
And you have people on the other side that maybe that say things, you know, and it would be hard to come in and keep people like that. You know, but they've taken that away with professional standards today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these deputies are trained. They're mm-hmm. you know they're well prepared for what they're
right.
doing. So Steve decided then that he was going to run for sheriff in 1985. And that's when he ran, and he won.
Did you run with him?
I helped.
But
I wasn't on there. I said he had good people on there.
But you,
I said he had good
but
people.
But you were a deputy.
I was a deputy. I was his chief deputy.
Yeah.
And I did. I didn't. I wasn't a named.
You know,
it's like we, like I said, you know, you put together, and it's not unlike a lot today.
Right.
You know, people want to connect with large families, you know, that have a lot of votes. Well, you know, I wasn't going to help Steve get a lot of votes because we were going to pull the same ones.
Vote.
Yeah. So, but I did. I served 4 years as his chief deputy.
What? But you guys, didn't you all work at Scott Gross together at that time or around that time or something like that?
Steve and I were closer than brothers.
Yeah.
We really were. We were.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you and Cecil.
I know, exactly.
We were closer than brothers. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we were a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, Steve calling you at 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
If it hit him to call you at 3 in the morning.
He'd call you.
He'd call you at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was a lot different.
Right.
And that's what I said, you know, Steve is the reason that I ran for sheriff to begin with. If Steve would have never ran, I would have never. I don't know where I would have ended up, but I'm sure it wouldn't have been politics.
Now, he was in there 4 years?
Right.
Or how many did you have?
I had 4 under Steve, and then I had 17 as sheriff.
17? I didn't realize you were there that long.
Yeah, 4 times.
You're a lot older than I thought you were.
Thank you, Doug.
You're welcome. And, folks, I can say that because I'm only a year behind. 17. Wow.
Sheriff, 17 years.
And you had a lot of good people under you, too.
I had a lot of good people. A lot of those people are still there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those people that Steve even hired. Doodle Peel and Kevin and Vita Savage, you know, there's a lot of those people that are still working there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got a wonderful sheriff's office now and great people, but I was fortunate to have good people as well.
What's the biggest difference that you saw in the sheriff's office, in the sheriff's world, from when Steve first was elected to when you got out?
Well, it's a lot different now. There's a lot of... you know, there's a lot more going on as far as drugs and things like that. I think we're in a terrible, almost an epidemic right now, this heroin and, you know, and this fentanyl that's being laced with, you know, the heroin. And it's killing people.
Yeah.
Young people. And once, you know, they try it one time and they're hooked on it.
You talked about how close you and Steve were, and I know you were. What do you think he'd think about these two and how they've done?
I'm pretty sure he'd be pretty proud of them.
Pretty much.
And I wish that he would have been able to have lived to have seen, you know, what they've become and what they've grown into. And Lindsay's done a great job with them as well.
She is to be commended because it is no easy task for whether male or female to become a single parent like that. And to
with two at that age,
to bring them up and anybody that can do that is done a heck of a job, especially to get them to the point where these two guys are.
Yeah,
your mom, everybody in county knew and loved Miss Alice.
Her.
Absolutely, you know when I get back to playing that ball, she was kind of the team mom. Miss Alice was, and everybody loved, and she continued that way until the day she took her last breath. Most of those Rainwaters were like that, though. If you really, she came from good stock, she came from good raising. When did we lose Alice?
March 6th of 2015.
So it's been a couple of years ago.
2 years, yeah.
And she worked in the sheriff's office right along with you boys for a long time. How was it to work with Mom?
She had a lot to do with us being there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
she had a great deal to do. I mean, Steve is the one with the vision and, you know, and pulled it all together. But, you know, she worked for years for Dr. Corbett and Dr. Dunkelberger, Dr. Dale Dunkelberger and Wilmore. So, you know, she knew a lot of people in this county. And at that time, you know, Dr. D and Dr. Corbett were probably probably about the only doctors around, really.
So
Mama met a bunch of people, and she knew a bunch, you know, and she was from a good family, the Rainwaters, especially in Wilmore, you know. But she had a great deal to do with us being there, and to work with her, to live with her, she was a great person.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, hope that some of her would have rubbed off on some of us.
How old were you when your dad died?
I was 13.
So you're just a little bit older than they were when Steve died, but still, you lost your dad while a kid.
Yeah.
And so you kind of somewhat understood a little bit what these guys are going through and hopefully be able to help them out.
Yeah. He died August 26, 1974, in a tobacco patch.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was a hard worker, and he worked for the county, Road Department.
Yeah.
There were several of them. Son Carol was the engineer.
Oh, yeah.
Daddy was the foreman or supervisor. Carl Corman was there. Sherman Whited.
Boy, you'd name some good fellas there.
Yeah, good people.
Yeah.
Red Gill, you know, there was a bunch of them. And I'll never forget that day. It was the first day of school, and I had came home from school, and we had some guineas, you know, the little, in the family of the chicken, but we had some young ones out, and Daddy came in from work, and he said, we're going to go up and cut some, they sharecropped, you know, they helped each other raise their crops of tobacco. Sherman would help Daddy, Daddy would help Sherman, Carl, and Red, and he said, we're going to go up and cut some of Sherman's at his house. He lived on Catnip Hill Road, where Altec is now. So we went up there and worked till almost dark. But Daddy wasn't ready to quit. He had had some heart problems. He'd had two heart attacks prior to that. It was a hot, humid day that day. And they were warning people, you know, not to even be out. If you have heart conditions, not to even be out in that. But Daddy was going
to
work.
Had to get it done, didn't he?
Had to get it done. And Steve was there with us as well. Steve was working at the county at the time, probably just out of high school.
Your dad being pretty young back then.
He was 56.
Yeah, that's young.
That's young. I'm 56.
Yeah.
But we finished at Sherman's, got that patch cut down. And he said, well, let's go across the road and cut a couple of rows down over there. And that's right where Auto USA, right there is where we were. And I wanted to go, you know, when I got out of school, I wanted to go with them. But then, of course, when I got there, I wanted to go home.
Right.
Wanted to leave. It's like, come
that's
on.
That's enough of that.
Sure.
Let's go, Dad. We've been here long enough. He came up, and I was sitting on the tailgate of the truck, and he came up, and he sat down on the tailgate. And I said, are we ready to go? And he said, well, let them finish that row, and then we'll go. And I said, well, let me go get – and he said he was having some chest pain. And I said, well, let me go get Steve, and let's go. And he said, no, just let them finish that row. And I noticed he kept taking those nitroglycerin pills.
Oh, yeah.
So the pain was – you know, he knew something was wrong. And it's probably a good – you know, it I guess it turned out as well as it could, but he just fell off the tailgate of the truck. But, you know, if we had left 10 minutes earlier – and he would have been driving.
Yeah, it could have been real bad.
It could have been bad on Nicholasville Road,
right.
You know, that time of the day.
Right.
We could have wrecked and hit someone else.
Sure,
and
sure.
So, you know, if you have to go, that's,
that's,
you know,
the way to go.
And
doing what he loved.
Doing what he loved. Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about Steve's kids. We haven't talked about yours. First, let's talk about your wife, because I do not want to get in the doghouse for not bringing up Lori Walker. Tell us who you married, Joe, and tell us about your kids and what they're doing.
Well, I brought her up earlier, Doug. So I said, I married. I said, my dad found a wonderful lady, and I did too.
Yes, you did.
But I did. I married Lori Clark. We married in 1989. So we're coming up on 28 years of marriage.
And was I still in the belly?
You were. You were.
So
we made September. You were there as a passenger.
There you go.
We made September 23rd. You were born October 7th. So, yeah, you did. You were
there.
September 23rd of 89. That's my wife's birthday. It's all tying together here.
So your wife's only 28.
Well, I tell you what, she is 9 years younger than me. And so, yeah, a lot of times in my eyes, she looks like she's 28.
Well, that's the way I am. Lori's a lot younger than I am.
Yeah, you and I have married younger ladies. And what's amazing about that, and I know you'll relate to this, is because, you know, you feel different at different ages. But your wives will never understand it until they get to that point. Well, then by that point, you're at a whole new level. So they'll never catch up with you. You know, you talk about your aches and pains, and she looks at me like, oh, yeah, grow up.
Yeah.
Well, just wait.
I'm too grown.
Yeah, exactly.
You and I both made up, though.
We did. How about your kids, Joe?
I got two boys.
Yeah.
Jacob. Jacob's the one that's done all the family history and the genealogy. He can tell us. That's what I wanted him to come today, because he can go back.
Long
He's
time.
He's the expert, yeah.
Way, he can go as far as you can, as far as you want to go, he can take you there. But Jacob is, he's still at home. He's 27. You're 28. You'll be 28 in October.
Yes.
He will be 20. I don't know how old he is.
He's a dependent.
He's in his 20s.
Joseph, the youngest one, is married and brought us a new grandbaby.
Yeah, not
Jenna McKay.
Not spoiled at all.
Oh,
no.
Honey. She has him wrapped around
this
her
one
finger.
Here.
Oh,
well,
absolutely.
Daddy too, I'm sure.
Both,
but this one is special.
Everybody in this family, she's just got us all wrapped.
She's just a, you know, when she's in the room, or when they enter the house, it's a whole different atmosphere.
You know, your family's a lot like mine, Joe. I'm sure when this one here, Andrew, was born, having raised two boys, that girl that came along, it just was, and I went through it too. My oldest daughter was the first girl in 60-something years, and so, needless to say, spoilt rotten. Because she's used to all these boys and no daughters, and then all of a sudden you've got it. So, yeah, I could see why the granddaughter would.
Well, and Lori really, she obviously loves her two boys, yeah. But she wanted a daughter.
Yeah.
She wanted a girl, so now yeah. She's got her girl.
I'll tell you what, though, it's interesting, though. You know, I was raised only with a brother, and my wife was raised only with three sisters. So it was interesting for me to have daughters, because I'd never been around that. I mean, I had friends that were girls.
Poor thing.
But, well, on the converse, Amy had never grew up with boys.
Right.
And I remember one time when Jonathan was about 4 or 5 years old, she was at the point of, like, we need to probably take him to a doctor. He needs medicine. I said, no, he's just being a boy. I mean, she didn't know.
He's normal.
So you understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly.
When you get these girls, then you're like, oh, my gosh, this is a whole different world here.
Yeah.
I didn't go through this. And so it's a learning experience, yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad your kids are doing well and your wife's doing well, I think.
She's doing well, and I'm glad your wife is
yeah,
as well.
We've been very lucky. And it's funny how our lives have kind of paralleled and
mirrored each other in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and we are both fortunate that our wives are healthy now, so that's a blessing.
Yeah, Lori in 2004 was diagnosed with colorectal cancer.
And yeah,
put a scare in all of us.
Been that long?
2004.
Wow.
But she's tough, I tell you, and I know Amy is.
Oh yeah, you find out, and this goes back to your mom, mm-hmm. and mentioned my brother, his wife. I think you always find out that in situations that are dire like that, that the females usually are stronger than the men. I admit it. In the situations I've been in, the women handled it a whole lot better than I did.
No doubt.
It is.
There's no doubt.
It is. They are. They just have a strength about them.
She never complained, you know. And if it was me, I would have.
Oh yeah,
I would have been down baby. For you know. But she did. You know, she went through chemo, radiation, a major operation.
Yeah.
And another round of major chemo and another yeah. major operation. She went through a lot, but she never complained. And,
yeah, it's tough.
But. You know, yeah, it's tough, and I know Amy had a.
It is hard. It's
hard
a hard road.
Road,
but you know you get through it, and you thank God yeah. that you get through it, and you look around and what you have, and makes things look a little.
And they both
different.
Were young too.
Both were know. Young. Both were
and
young.
Diagnosed.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, we all have tragedy in our families. You all have had it, and we've had it, but we get through it. We get
yeah.
through it,
right.
And we should be proud of what was laid before us. You know, as I mentioned to you earlier on, we talked about doing this interview. I guess in Jessamine County, we've only had one pair of brothers be sheriffs, and that's you and Steve, as far as I know.
As far as I know.
And, you know, your dad or your grandfather serving as jailer and Miss Alice, the whole family. And now these kids making a legacy of their own and holding that Walker name up and doing us all proud. I know that you guys, boy, Miss Alice, did she ever see you broadcast? Was she able to do that?
I think she might have seen a little bit in bowling.
When you were in bowling.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
And you guys, and I'm sure she, you know, was able to see you in school and how you did. And I'm sure that you talk about somebody that had kids wrapped.
Oh, my
that
goodness.
One right there.
She had everybody wrapped around her fingers.
She did.
She did.
People,
she did.
As soon as I started, Bill Bryant said, I remember your grandma. Because he was a reporter back when,
yeah.
In the day. And when he would go to the courthouse, he said, I remember your grandma. He's like, if I ever really wanted to know something, I'd ask her. And she'd usually tell me.
Well, she was a great woman. I tell you what. And I had the opportunity, he's talking about this show. Early on in the show, I interviewed Faye about the Rainwater family and how they came to be. And it was certainly a pleasure to talk to her, too. And reminisce about those days, and it was funny the stories that she would tell and about your all's family. And you've got a lot of big family to be proud of, Joe. I mean, you got a lot of connections here, and you like me are very fortunate that we were blessed to be born into the families we were.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys. Our time's up. It just goes quick, doesn't it?
It flew by.
You know, we could cover so much more, but I just appreciate you coming in and let's get this on record, the Walker family that have made significant contributions to our community and will continue to do so. Good luck to all of you and your futures. And next, when you get that pilot's license, take him on a wild
come
ride.
I'll come be your teacher.
You come right on. We'll learn together, maybe.
I don't know about that. I like my feet on the ground.
Me too.
You don't far as fall.
That's exactly right.
You don't fall nearly as far. But, Doug, I want to thank you, too, because as I told you earlier, I'm really glad you started this. I've listened to a lot of your broadcasts. Mm-hmm. Listened to Charles Miller the other day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all of those. I've listened to Harold Lee, and I've listened to a ton of them. And I'm glad that you've done this, and I appreciate you doing it.
I thank you. We've had a good time. I have learned things about people that I have known all my life. Heck, I did a show with my dad and learned with my mother about my dad.
Right.
And learned some things that I didn't even know. So yeah. It's been very educational for me, too. To hear these stories and to try to make sure that we preserve our history and what brought this county to where it is today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My thanks to Joe Walker, Andrea Walker, and Matt Walker for coming in today and telling us a little more about their family. Appreciate you coming in also every Saturday morning at All Things Jessamine at 11 o'clock. We'll do it again next Saturday. And I invite you to join me on my regular show every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.